Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. I appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. I appreciate also those who are tuning in through the live stream. You know, there have been a lot of epic battles throughout history. And a lot of those are recorded within the Bible. Maybe you think about Genesis chapter 13 when the five kings battled the four kings. And of course, you recall that Lot was taken captive and Abraham sent his men and went with them, and they went and rescued Lot. Maybe you think of Exodus 17, when Moses and the children of Israel battled the Amalekites. And you remember, as long as Moses' hands were held up, the Israelites won. When his hands dropped, then the Amalekites would win, and Aaron and Hur came and set Moses down on a rock and helped to hold his hands up, and Israel was victorious. Maybe think of Joshua chapter 6 and, of course, the battle of Jericho and that famous battle where they marched around the walls. And on the seventh day, they marched around it seven times, blew the trumpets. The people shouted and the walls fell flat and the people prevailed. Maybe Joshua 10, the day when the sun stood still in order for the Israelites to prevail over their enemies. Of course, there's 1 Kings 18, Elisha against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. But this morning, I want us to turn to a battle that, in my mind, outdoes them all. It's a battle that stands out because it's one with most unlikely circumstances. Because it's a young, experienced shepherd boy versus a war-hardened giant. The account begins in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn over there this morning as we're going to go through this account together. And notice the attitude of David, who told Saul, "Your servant will go and fight." In 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verses 1 through 3, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. And they were gathered together at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah, in Ephes-Damon, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley in between them." Do you see it in your mind's eye? Can you picture the scene? We've got two armies. We've got two mountains with this valley in between. And it's in that valley that these armies would go to war. They would both go down into the valley, and there they would fight against one another. 4 points that we want to consider as we look at this epic battle. Three of them this morning. We'll notice the final point tonight. Number one, we want to begin by noticing the challenger. The challenger. From the army of the Philistines, a challenger emerges. And he's described for us in verses 4 through 7. "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him." I want us to break these verses down to get a picture of the enemy here. First off, he's described as a champion. The idea here is Goliath is a veteran of war. This isn't someone who's just coming to the battle for the first time. This is an individual who had fought many battles. And no doubt he's hardened, he's more experienced than many of the other soldiers that have gathered in the valley. He was an experienced warrior. And so he's referred to as a champion according to these worldly standards. And then we have what is probably the most famous thing that we remember about him, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, of course, that raises the question, how tall is this? A cubit is about 18 inches. And I say about 18 inches because, to be honest with you, it varies depending on who's measuring it. A cubit would run from the elbow to the tip of the finger. All right? And typically that was about 18 inches. The reason we know that, and this is just a side note, Hezekiah's conduit. It was a conduit that Hezekiah dug in order to bring water under the wall into the city of Jerusalem, which becomes very beneficial in the case of a siege. Well, Hezekiah's conduit in the Bible, is the measurements of it are given to us in cubits. Well, guess what archaeologists, what they discovered? They found Hezekiah's conduit. And so they measured it and found that a cubit's about 18 inches. A span is about 9 inches. A span is about half of a cubit. And so that's why we call Goliath a giant, because of his impressive size. And looking at the different estimates, you range from the usually accepted 9 feet 9 inches, all the way up, some have estimated closer to 12 feet. Even at the low end of that spectrum, though, oh, that's tall. Now, for some, you might think, well, that just sounds far-fetched. But it might not be as far-fetched as you think. The Guinness World Record holder, Robert Woodlaw, he died in 1940. Is the tallest man to ever live. Of course, they didn't include Goliath because they couldn't measure him. 8 feet, 11 inches tall. And so it's not that far-fetched to think that Goliath stood 9 feet, 9 inches. The Bible says that he had a bronze helmet on his head. You know, normally heads, for the most part, are in proportion to the size of the body, right? Think about the head on this guy. And this bronze helmet that sat upon it. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. The approximate weight of this coat of mail that he had on was around 150 pounds. Now, you'll find estimates a little bit less than that, around 125 pounds, some that go a little bit higher than that, but I kind of split the difference, around 150 pounds. Think about walking around with 150 pounds on you. But Goliath isn't walking, but fighting. Shows once again the strength of this individual. He had bronze armor on his legs, a bronze javelin between his shoulders, more armor, more weight. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. The spearhead on his spear would have weighed about 20 pounds. Now I've got some 20-pound dumbbells at home. If I was to pick that up and try to throw it, I'm not going to throw it very far. I'm also not going to be able to hold it and be able to jab with any real accuracy. But yet here's an individual whose spear, which he used to fight, to kill enemies, that's what it weighed. And he had a shield bearer that went before him. You know, when we think, I think sometimes we get the wrong picture of Goliath. We think 9 feet, 9 inches, and we get the picture of this long stick figure, right? Y'all, Goliath was a warrior. This would have been an individual that was muscular and built for battle. One author I was reading, if you take his height at 9 feet, 9 inches, and you give him a BMI, which is the body mass index of someone who is muscular, which would put his BMI somewhere around 25, and you figure out the weight for that, you're looking at an individual that had been close to 600 pounds. Another way to look at his weight, possibly, the estimate of all of his armor together was about 275 pounds. Plutarch, an ancient historian, lets us know that a normal soldier's armor weighed about 60 pounds. So we got a normal soldier, his armor 60 pounds. You take the normal soldier at somewhere around 200 pounds. And so about three times the amount of his armor was his weight. Well, you take Goliath's armor, which is estimated to be around 275 pounds, and you times that by three, you're looking at a little over 800 pounds. So we've got this 9 foot, 9 inch individual who, let's split the difference, weighs about 700 pounds. You know, that's the equivalent of a tank rolling into the battle. And it's important that we understand how massive and how imposing this individual is, because it's going to make David's faith so much bigger. So we have this challenger emerges, Goliath of Gath. And that brings us to our second point, and that is the challenge. Goliath issued a challenge to the armies of Israel. In verses 8 and 9, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle?" He says, "You've gathered your army. We're all sitting out here." He says, "How about this? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." Challenge seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Goliath says, there's no reason for all of us to fight and so many people to die. Choose your best fighter. He and I'll fight. If he wins, we'll serve you. If I win, then y'all serve us. Now, granted, if you're the Israelites, you might be thinking that's a little lopsided. That'd be like a major league pitcher coming up to me and saying, "Hey, get in the batter's box. If you can hit my fastball, then you win. And if I strike you out, then I win." While I can hit a ball, I don't think I can hit a major league pitcher's fastball. And so he lays this challenge out, but it's not just the challenge. He throws insults on top of it. In verses 10 and 11, and the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The word defy here means to strip and lay bare. In other words, he's saying, God, his army, it's nothing to me. They mean nothing. I'm not worried about them one bit. And yet we have God's army over here cowering in the corner. In verse 16, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. For 40 days, Goliath comes out in the morning, he issues the challenge. For 40 days, he returns in the evening, he issues the challenge. And each day, the armies of the Philistines grow bolder, and each day, God's people become more fearful. But that's about to end. And that brings us to our third point, and that is the child. The hero of this account comes from the most unlikely of places. The greatest of underdogs against the one who is greatly favored to win. In verse 17, then Jesse said to his son David. David was the youngest of the sons of Jesse. He said, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp." At this time, the way the army was fed was you receive food from your family. And so Jesse's sending David to make sure that his brothers have the food and the provisions that they need. In verses 22 through 24, David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So here's David. He's delivered the supplies, but as any younger person probably would, he wants to go see what's going on with the battle, right? And so he goes to where his brothers are, and as he's there, here comes out Goliath, issuing the challenge, hurling the insults. And as David looks around, he sees all of God's people cowering. David goes to Saul in verse 32. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Look at the attitude of David here. Here sits Goliath. Everyone else is cowering. David says, "Hey, Saul, I'll take care of this. I'll go and fight." And it may be, as we hear David's statement, it may be that Saul looked at him and he thought, this is the hubris of youth, right? Here's this young guy who's thinking he can take on Goliath. But as we're going to see, there was more behind David's statement. In verse 33, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.'" The reaction here of Saul is not surprising. He refers to David as a youth. Some have estimated maybe 15 or 16 years old, some close to 20. We know David wasn't 20, because if David had been 20, where would he have been? He would have been there at the battle, because that was the age in which the children of Israel went to war. The men, when they hit 20 years of age, they were old enough to go to battle. And so David could have been as old as 19 here. But in the eyes of Goliath, even at 19, he's a mere child. Notice what he says to Saul said, "You're a youth and he a man of war from his youth." It's very possible that Goliath had been fighting battles longer than David's been alive. But listen to David's response in verses 34 through 37. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover," David said, "'the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go and the Lord be with you.'" How can David make such a statement? Looking at Goliath, seeing his size, notice the imposing task before him, David could make such a statement because he had great faith in the God of heaven. He recognized that he served a God that was bigger than Goliath. He served a God that was bigger than the armies of the Philistine. He had seen God deliver him from a bear. He had seen God deliver him from a lion. And he knew God could deliver him from Goliath. Y'all, we need to be like David. We need to have that faith in the God of heaven. A faith that will allow us to say, "Your servant will go and fight." David's faith was great because it was a faith that acted. Let me ask you, friend, will you act on your faith today? If you're not a Christian, you believe in the God of heaven, will you act on your faith and obedience this morning? Believing in Jesus as the Son of God, turning from sin, confessing that belief and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you are a Christian and you've lost the battle to sin. Get back in the fight this morning. We serve a God that assures victory. Did you hear that, brother? We serve a God that assures victory. God needs soldiers, though, that'll fight for Him. Will you be one of them? Friend, answer that question as together we stand and sing.